This call is being recorded.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. You're the one who said hello?
No.
Yes.
No, it was Michael.
Yeah, the call is changed. But it's back.
It's a call is changed?
Okay, just play it back. And I got it. There's a sound that it's like.
What?
The hello? Sound. I think sound is like.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome. How are you?
I'm not tired. I don't really feel tired. I just feel like crap.
I don't know what that is. People are listening too, you know.
You just told the entire world you feel like crap. Welcome to the Developers Forum. Last week was a conversation on, let's see, what day is today? The 18th. On Spring. And I don't know if there was any talk of Java 8. What do our notes say?
Both.
So both. So any comments, feedback, thoughts after the fact about last week's conversation? All right. We'll take that as a no. So, we have this call each week. It's time for anybody interested in OpenMRS-related development to share ideas, talk about whatever matters to them. As I say on most weeks, this is your call, and if all you do is check email, then either maybe you can have better things to do with your time during this time, or you could help shape the call to make it more meaningful for you, because the point of this call is to be useful to the people that are joining the call. That said, we try to set up some agenda items so that we have time and people have the ability to get prepared, and also so that we kind of cover some of the issues or priorities that are in the community. So that said, let me throw in last week's notes real quick. Last week, this week is, I believe, a opportunity to hear from partners in health, talk about what's going on specifically in Haiti, but I think anything that PIH wants to share about the work they've been doing. I think we all know they've been doing a lot of good work around OpenMRS and have been a not only a kind of a founding group, but also a one of the primary drivers for the OpenMRS community in terms of development. So it's always good to hear what they're up to. Who do we have on the call from PIH? And I see Dave.
Thank you.
Sorry, we have an ambulance going by. Anyone from PH with a microphone?
Hi there, can you guys hear me?
Yep. Yeah, we can now.
Okay.
Hello?
Not sure who you were saying hello to, but hello. Did you hear Dave?
I heard Dave say, can anyone hear me? And then that was the last I heard. Looks like he's muted here. Let me unmute him. Oh, he's muted again.
Yeah, I'm here, guys.
Okay.
I think he's waiting for you to say, it's time to go.
Yeah, I thought we were still kind of compiling people. I'm not sure exactly what you wanted us to talk about this week, but I can just show you, kind of give you a little demo of what we've been working on. And I think we should have Mark on the line, too, at least in a few moments, to answer any of your technical questions.
Yeah, I think in general, we try to have kind of work in progress or updates from various groups throughout the year. And that it's really an opportunity to kind of say, you know, what kind of things is PIH up to? You know, how are they leveraging OpenMRS right now? Are there new things they're working on? What's coming up in the future? Are there things that are, you know, we as a community could or should be doing that would help PIH? You know, it's just a chance to kind of speak to the development community and share your successes, your failures, and you know, influence how we as a community behave over the next upcoming months.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
So for most folks should know, I think, on the call, but if you don't, we do screen sharing at connect.openmrs.org will get you to the developers call screen sharing. And Darius, was there was another topic that we talked about? Was it platform timeline? I'm trying to remember what we were talking about that we...
For today?
That we were saying, well, maybe we could use some of today's call.
I don't remember offhand.
It was during our project management call on Monday, I think we said, oh, we should talk about this. And okay. All right. Well, go ahead, David. I don't know. He's muted. No, he looks like he's talking, but I can't hear him.
I just told him that we can't hear him.
Okay.
It sounds like he looked like he lost audio when he shared his screen, so he's he's working on it now.
So many microphones to choose from.
How about now?
Hey, we can hear you.
Okay. Great. Okay. And you can see my screen.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, great. So one thing that we've been working on is the, so we're, just to take a step back, what we're working on now is a,
David, can you switch over back to Adobe Connect and just turn the microphone down, not a lot, but maybe adjust the volume like by 10% down. You're a little distorted.
Sure.
Yeah, not a lot, but just maybe, yeah, there, that's good. Thanks.
Sounds better?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So what we've been working on is a new version of an EMR that we'd like to have available for us as our core PIH EMR. So the idea would be this would be a just an application that we have fairly genericized that will be available to be somewhat easily customized for any new clinics that we need to deploy it to or existing clinics we would like to upgrade the new system for. So what we've done is we've taken the reference app version of the registration module and made some modifications based on some requirements we have at some of our Haiti sites. So I can show you, run you through those changes that we've made. This is the homepage for our Mirabile version of the application. Right now I'm logged into the outpatient clinic location. And another change that we made recently that I should mention is that we made all of our homepage applications dependent on the area that the user's logged in on. So I'm going to actually log into our reception desk location. And then our registration application shows up. So this is the homepage for the registration clerk. And at Mirabile Hospital, we issue plastic cards for patients. We print out cards at the end of the registration process. So if a patient comes in with a card, the registration clerk can scan it using a card reader that they have at their station, and that will box. So it's the equivalent. Right now I don't have a card reader, I'm just going to type in a name. So if there's an existing patient who's already been registered, their card will be scanned and they'll be brought to this page, which is essentially a registration homepage, kind of like, or a dashboard. This contains all of the information that was captured during our registration process. And it allows you to edit any of them. And I can get into the edit pages later. I just wanted to show you the general flow first. And from here, if the registration clerk wants to determine that if it was the right patient or not, they can just view the information here. If they determine not the right patient information, they can just go back home, either find, you know, do a search again, or they can register the patient new. So let me just walk you through that new registration process. So like I said, this is similar to the reference app version, the registration module. The first page is when the patient was registered, so it's either today or if I unclick it, I can enter a past date. I'm just going to register the patient for today. So patient's name. We added nickname. We also have this option if it's an unidentified patient, and I can show you this afterwards. It will skip most of this information. All you'll need to do is enter in gender. And they'll be registered as an unidentified patient that can be merged in with a fully identified registered patient later on. From now, you're registering this patient. Birth date, either a known or unknown birth date. Mother's first name. So this is something that a couple of our sites actually requested the purpose of this is to really two purposes. One is potentially disambiguate users. So if users have similar, the same names, you can view their mother's first name, see if it's the correct patient. But it's also, I guess, in Haiti, it's used to generate a national ID for patients using some algorithm. I'm not sure exactly how that works, but they want to take that for this. So this is the patient's address. So again, this is the one that was built on the reference app. So the way it works is there are four structured levels of the Haiti address hierarchy: department, commune, section, communal, and location, locality. So if I know the department, I can just choose the department, and from there, I can choose the additional levels based on the previous options that I chose. If I already know the locality, I just blank this out. I type in the locality, it'll prompt me for the different places in the hierarchy where that locality exists. I can just click that, and it'll populate the entire hierarchy up through the address, which is from text. You can just put like a landmark or a street, just to the bridge. By the way, I just should mention we are actually making a change so that locality is going to be optional, and all the other levels will be required. Right now, everything's required. We're also capturing patient place of birth. This works the same as the patient address. We will have to make a change, some kind of option to capture the patient's place of birth outside of the hierarchy. So we're still working on that. It may just be a checkbox saying outside of Haiti. Patient civil status, occupation, these are showing up in French now, the translations haven't been done yet. This is optional, the patient's religious affiliation. So now we capture information related to a contact person for the patient. So this is so again, same type of address capture, and the phone number for this contact. So here, the system is prompting whether or not I want to automatically assign the EMR ID, which normally they would. But for instance, if we had a patients that were registered in another one of our clinics within the same country, we would like to retain that EMR ID across sites, I could just uncheck this and type in their identifier here.
And presumably that's checked, like that's validated and uniqueness and check digit?
That's correct. So this prompts me for ID card. I'm going to say no here on the development server. And now it's just prompting me to confirm all the information. Patient's been registered. If I would like to view the information or make changes based on what I just registered, I can just click on their name in that widget below. Their registration dashboard. These sections and make changes.
Was that a registration? There's a registration on their dashboard? Okay.
Yeah, it's not showing up here. Normally, I'll just say the date and time and who registered them.
So is this...
The app is working, but...
So is this a registration or check-in, or is it both?
So far, I've just registered. If I wanted to check in, I could do that here. I believe it's not allowing me to check in here because of the location that I've chosen. Let me try. Yes. So now I have an option here to check this patient in. So it also shows their check-in status, which right now that patient hasn't been checked in. But if I click this, I can check the patient in, type of visit, the amount of money that's collected for the visit, that's with the patient goods, a receipt number that we might have given them for their payment. And this is configurable by location. For some reason, we have it turned on for the outpatient clinic, but if there's a wristband printer connected at that location, for instance, if it was like an inpatient location or an emergency location, we would have a wristband printer configured so we can print out a wristband for that patient. And prompting me to create the patient's dossier at the central archives or at my local location. Thanks to be back to their registration dashboard. Now it's showing the check-in information. There's a few other actions you can do from this page. We can merge from here. You can go to the visit dashboard, which is it's essentially what we have for the it's the visit-based dashboard that currently is in the reference app, I believe. When you click into a visit, and we have label printers and ID card printers configured here. Is there anything else specifically related to registration that anyone would like me to go into?
Are all of these sections implemented? Some of them are like the edit, I guess going back to edit them, some of them will go to HTML forms and some of them will go to the sort of question per screen UI.
Yeah, and we've been talking about this lately. Debating back and forth.
But that's kind of, there are two points here. The demographics and contact info are edited via the registration. I mean, this is not ideal, but this is what's happening. The demographics and contact info ones are edited by the built-in edit function out of the registration app, and the other ones are edited via HTML forms that are kind of built to encapsulate, separate forms that are built to encapsulate small parts of the registration encounter. For instance, it's all the registration encounter, but there are three different forms that, you know, capture either the contact person part or the social part. I guess the contact person, social, and registration part. But that's, I mean, an HTML form can be rendered either the simple one question for screen UI or the non-net version. So that whether, and we can change them all to be rendered in the same way by one question per screen if we want to while still keeping them as HTML forms. So the main challenge we face is that we think in edit view, it's better to have a non-one question per screen flow, but the registration UI editing does not support that currently. So demographics and contact info cannot be done in can only be edited one question per screen, and they can't be as HTML forms that well because they're not encounter information, they're patient information. So we had a choice of either changing social and contact person forms so they're one question per screen to be consistent, or keeping them the other way so they're inconsistent, but at least we think they're a little friendlier. And that's kind of a debate we've been having. We haven't totally answered it yet. Hope that made sense.
Cool. Sorry, I meant to say some of it is from sort of the registration app and some of it is from HTML forms. I didn't mean to fixate on question per screen versus all on one screen. So that's helpful. So I typed a comment, but
Dave is here talking, but he's muted, and so he's just trying to figure out how to unmute.
I don't know how it got muted, but you can hear me now, right?
Yeah.
I was just saying we are debating whether or not a question per page or several questions on the same page is a better approach for edit actions. To edit just one field, should you have to page through all of them the way you would if you are entering everything new, you know? So I should also mention that this version of the registration module has been implemented at a clinic in Liberia. Ellen went up last week and installed it for them on a laptop and gave them some training. So we started to get some feedback on this version of the registration modules. So that's good. Any other questions here?
Your cards that you're giving out for registration, do they have the ID and demographics? Are they printed on there, or do you use a sticker?
Right now, at Mirabeau Hospital, we're printing directly to the card using card printers. And yeah, it's ID, demographic information.
Do you have an idea how much that's costing you per card?
Yeah, we do have that information. Hold on just a second.
The qualitative answer.
Sure.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry, I spoke over you.
All right. It's about $40 per pack of 500 cards. But they also charge for the cards, too, like 50 dude, which it's a fee that can be waived, but for the people who can pay, we charge 50 dude, which is a little bit more than a dollar for the card.
I mean, the bigger picture, I think the total cost of ownership has proven to be somewhat high, just in the fact that some of the printers have proven to be not 100% reliable in high volume settings and have required a lot of maintenance and sending back to the manufacturer for fixing or buying replacements. And the printers themselves are, I think, around $1,500 or something like that. There's consumable costs that are recurring, and then there's equipment costs that, depending on the reliability of the printers, can be significant in terms of downtime and having to have replacements around.
Okay, thanks.
So we are looking at different methods of identifying patients, and eventually we might end up going down the route of fingerprinting or something like that.
And the label printers, for whatever reason, have proven to be much more reliable than the ID card printers that we have. From what I understand, that we haven't had really any problems with them at all since the beginning. And so an alternative route of printing a label and sticking it on a plastic ID card.
That's what they did in Missouri that worked pretty well.
The label printers are just basically printers that print on labels, while the card printers have all these like mechanical things that you load and flip cards and stuff and feed them, and that's what all breaks.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, as you may have seen from a lot of our conversations at the conference last year and other threads, I mean, one of the things we want to look at is potentially alternatives to ID card printing, such as biometrics, but we haven't really had the opportunity to investigate that in too much detail, but are still, eager to get information from others who have had success with biometrics and recommendations on what fingerprint print scanners or SDKs might be tried and true at this point.
Yeah. If you think about the way you set up the application and picture, say, a world where we were fully kind of web frameworked and each of these buttons here we're seeing were kind of a separate Angular module, like a separate kind of independent Angular app. Where are there places where, I mean, I know you mentioned how you'll vary which things show up by location, and that seems very doable. But are there places, like it seems like the patient dashboard is is drawing data from, you know, the, you know, registrations or other systems, but are there any interdependencies between these things? Like, could you see kind of implementing a lot of the functionality you have now as kind of all these as kind of independent modules? Or do you, as you've created this, do you see that there's kind of interdependencies between them? Like, as you click in through each of these features, checking somebody in or going to any one of these apps, are there points at which you're in one app and calling another app to get some, you know, functionality or part of a web page from it?
Yeah, so we do have some instances where we go from within an app for another app, for instance. And right here in this registration flow.
But this right there, you're jumping to the patient dashboard.
Right, the registration, this is in the registration dashboard, though. This is not the clinical dashboard, so this is within the registration.
Oh, this is a different dashboard? Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay.
It's just strictly registration information.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah. If I'm logged on at the right place and go to this dashboard, clicking check-in will bring me in, like, within the check-in app. So we do have a few places where we navigate within one app to another, but, you know, in some cases we can.
If you were to have clicked on visit dashboard from the previous page, does that take you to a different app?
I'm sorry, Darius?
If you were to have clicked on visit dashboard from this page, would that take you to a different app?
Yeah, so this is the visit based dashboard that we currently have in Verbally. The clinical visit dashboard.
Right, so are you now, though, in the context of a different app? Or is this sort of still within the registration app?
I believe so, right, Mark or Mike?
Well, no, you're not under. I mean, we don't really
maintain define
it
out.
Context, Darius. But yeah, but we're not. No, we're, by any way you define it, we're not within registration anymore. Just
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That, and are those time. Are those like how are those links made? Are those just like within the registration app? You're just know, okay, we want to have this functionality, we hard-code it in, or are those registration says, oh, well, I have some actions, and we've just configured it to one of the actions be to take you to this specific URL, or?
Sorry, which ones in particular are you talking about, just the registration?
So, like, if you're in the registration app now, and check-in takes you to,
yep.
Like, those general actions,
those are
just configurations?
Those are configured specific. I mean, there's an extension point, general actions, on the registration app homepage, and so those are configured via that, and they can be, you know, just like any other action, they can be permission based, and they also can be location based. So there's a set of things that can appear in that, specifically in that list, that's determined by location and privilege.
Okay. And is that something that does the check-in app know about the registration app and hook into this spot, or is it just a configuration thing that you guys, like, how does the check-in get in there? Is that something that's, there's a dependency between the two?
That, what happened to the check-in app? Is it on or something?
No, I'm just saying, like, in terms of getting that action in there, is that something that, like a check-in module knows there's a registration module
no.
And registers that, or is that just a manual configuration?
The distribution module wires things together.
Okay.
We have a single place where all of everything's set up. So in our case, it doesn't really matter. But, yeah, there could be some other way where that configuration would be within the registration. If there was a separate check-in module, yes, it could say, okay, put this on this page if it exists. But in order to simplify and to have everything in one place, we know what's going on, we have a separate module that just does all that as well.
I mean, to be more specific, I mean, some of the modules that exist, so, for example, like the registration app module or the core apps module, they do wire things together, I think, in certain ways. So they register, basically, they register apps and they register extensions, and by default, those things would show up in some of these places. In our distribution, we disable all those things out of the box. So we say we don't want anything that a module is just making it as the default action that's going to show up somewhere, or default section that's going to show up somewhere. And we say, actually, we want to configure all of our extensions and apps explicitly in our distribution module, so we have full control over what's happening where, and we're not just, you know, sometime, you know, if somebody happens to add some new action to, you know, the registration app module will just start showing up in our system. We don't want that to happen. So we disable all the automatic configuration and do it explicitly.
Okay, cool.
Anything else on registration before I move on? All right. If I search for the patient on the main search page. So right now, we're kind of at I'm actually going to switch over to a different server because we're kind of in between phase of what we're building now. We log into our other environment where we have more of our latest clinical changes. So this is the clinician-facing dashboard that we have that we've built and we intend to use. Again, it's similar to the reference app. We've just kind of moved things around a little bit. And we do have a few changes that are being planned, but it's essentially the same version of the dashboard as a reference app. You can see that the patient merged a lot of times, which is why they have a lot of patient IDs, which is pushing down the header. So I'll show you like the beginning of the kind of work in progress consult note that we had that Darius worked on when he was finishing up the assignment page. I go to start a visit.
What's the dossier number? That's interesting. Is that different? It looks different than a patient ID. Is that just a different patient ID identifier type? Or?
Yeah, it's the ID that we use to identify the paper record.
Okay.
So every patient has, the idea is that they have two IDs. One, the EMR ID, which we intend the patient to keep across all of our clinics, and then the dossier number relates to the specific paper record at each clinic. So they might have multiple paper records across different sites.
Interesting.
So this patient has an active visit. Click into it. It prompts me for which visit template, which is sort of like, what type of visit is it? And we're building in support for adult initial and follow-up visits and pediatric initial and follow-up visits. Like they're not all showing yet, but I'm just going to I'll choose pediatric initial visit. So what this is showing is all these buttons here represent parts of the form. Parts of the actual PIH form, paper form that needs to be filled out in a visit. And we have them stored in one template with different sections, different encounters for each of the sections. So you know, normally the patient would have been checked in at this point. I hadn't checked them in yet, so I'm just going to go ahead and do that. The next thing that might normally happen is vitals capture.
The idea is that the things that are supposed to have happened before the clinician is actually seeing the patient are sort of in expected chronological order. That's why check-in and vitals were sort of where they were. whereas the things that are expected to happen with the clinician doing them are all gathered together there at the bottom.
You can also see a section for vaccinations here. So this is a little bit different in that it's kind of, it's that information that's captured at a point of time in the sense that it's just, these are all the patient's vaccinations. So here I can add more information here. And I'll pop if it's part of today's visit or if it's during another visit or not during a visit at all. And it'll tell me when that vaccination was administered. And this will, no matter what visit I go into, it'll show the same vaccination section for this patient. So allergies, if I click into this, it just shows me the same allergy input as what we have in the reference app. I don't believe it's fully configured yet. But if I added a new allergy here, it would show. And we don't have a return button yet. I'm actually just going to pull up that patient again. So a lot of these forms are still in progress. I can show you what we have so far for patient history. Family history. Patient history. Clinically active.
Location.
Oh, location required. So we still have some work to do on how this is going to work, but so it's showing what I typed in for the history. Exam, this is still a work in progress. There needs to be more added here, but we've added a few things. Location. And you see it as the sections get filled out, the buttons are disappearing. So ICD-10 coded diagnoses. So this is a little bit different. I can just type in free text a plan here, or I can add a drug prescription. It's not working right now.
You want to type in the field.
That's right. There it goes. So for prescriptions, the idea is, we're still working on this, but we wanted to have more of a, more accountability than just allowing the doctor just to add it, saving that. So explicitly say sign and save, and this is where they would confirm by entering that password. Still working on exactly how that flow is going to work, but we're going to end up with something that forces the clinician to, do a little bit more to validate that they are giving the correct prescription to a patient. So for plan, there are multiple plans. This button still shows up even though it's already the section is already showing up as being entered. I could add a second one. We haven't entered all the tests yet, but. Add button might not be working. Or the cancel button.
This is what happens when you demo from a server that has CI automatically deploying new builds to it.
Yeah. Looks like it's done. It's done. So the, I mean, I had finished pretty much most of the of what we have built so far for consult note. Darius is probably the best person to answer any questions that you have. But any questions, feedback, thoughts on the general approach?
No, I mean, it looks awesome. I can't help but think, like, trying to, in my back of my mind, you know, seeing how can we continue to support you guys and have you guys, you know, evolving this system and at the same time kind of move toward more and more kind of Angular against REST, which is where we see like Bomni, and I know Ampath is headed that direction. Have you guys done any Angular against REST as part of your UI or as side projects?
Not as part of this. The appointment scheduling module is pretty exclusively, the new UI we built for that is pretty exclusively REST-based. And I guess the consult node, Darius, what you're doing in the new consult node is also Angular and REST-based, correct?
Okay.
Yeah, most of what I learned about Angular and REST, I learned from that, from working on the visit note, like the visit note templates and stuff.
So yes, I think we are looking to go that way, but a lot of our stuff predates that, and so whether we're going to rework the existing stuff is another question.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think my hope is that the two can kind of run side by side. So.
Well, yeah, except once you find out how it's easier to do something in Angular, and then you get annoyed when you go work back at the old one, I think is the.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's just like, not worth that's how we moved from subversion to Git. There was a why are we doing this for about a month or so, and then everything was like, well, why aren't we doing everything in this?
A question that Mark was asking me is whether this visit, sort of the new flow, that the new flow of a visit template and a visit note based on that, whether that's something we want in the reference application or not. I didn't answer him yet.
Yeah. I mean, that ultimately that's a Jonathan Teich, a question for Jonathan Teich. But the I would like us to get to, and I know we've talked about Darius, the to where we have a more explicit session, you know, like a you know that. Distinction between the encounter versus the encounter transaction, but I don't think that dream or wanting to get there needs to necessarily says, well, we couldn't get something like this functionality in the reference application. I don't think it's a either or. I think it's just a, you know, is it worthwhile getting this kind of stuff, you know, that workflow into the app? It's nice. I mean, it starts tying things together.
One reason I asked, and I'm not definitely sure what we're doing yet, but we, as we look to roll this out, we probably will want to change our existing Virbelay app which is still we're using one visit dashboard everywhere to use this new one. And currently the old one that we're using in Mirabilis is in the core apps module. And so I'm probably going to have to do some refactoring regardless. So when I do that in a week or two, I could potentially move this new thing in there. If I don't, I'll probably put it in the PI specific module, then somebody else will need to move it somewhere down the line if they want to. So I might be able to, do some OpenMRS work to get that in if that's the path everybody wants to go.
Yeah, I guess, so the question isn't just whether we want in the reference application, is it whether we are saying that this is the, you know, in core how we're going to handle visits, or I don't know how deep that question goes.
Well, I mean, is it where we're going to handle visits instead of the current way? I mean, it doesn't mean you might not change something else totally down the line or have different ways, but do you want it to replace the existing way? But I think, I mean, Darius's answer to me was also he's going to check with Jonathan Tice and talk to him about it. So, I mean, that seems to be the way to go.
Well, I, you know, it's hard for me to say, you know, this at least gives the sense of a visit and things are tied together. And so it's hard to argue for lack of anything as better than this. My hope is where we end up is that the way under the hood we're kind of tying these things together would be maybe a little bit differently than what it's doing now, but maybe this is a step that direction.
All right, guys. I don't think there's anything else that we're working on that would be worth to show. Michael, Mark, do you have any thoughts or anything else?
Where do you guys see over the next, you know, 4 to 6 months, where are the forces that be, you know, pushing you guys?
Well, we're kind of working on that now, what our roadmap is for this next fiscal year. But we definitely want to, you know, complete the clinical functions here in this. We'd like to get these functions piloted at Mirabilis Hospital and then potentially deployed in a new clinic in Haiti. Other projects that we have on the horizon that we're kind of working out with leadership now to figure out what we're going to do, but that includes bringing in HIV functionality into this application. We have other countries that we'd like to add support for. So in our Mexico program, we have we'd like to build in a lot of NCD forms and support for individual NCD programs, diabetes, hypertension, epilepsy, whatever, and then potentially new systems for some of our newer programs in West Africa also.
All right. Oh, cool.
Yeah, I mean, I just add, you know, from my perspective, I think one way that I think we need to start heading and trying to find a way to do this is to introduce more of an ability to extend the application, outside of the core build. So sort of getting back to, you know, some of the original OpenMRS distributions that we've deployed, but within this new framework and these new paradigms, so that we have the bigger picture overall application that we want to sort of maintain as the MVP sort of amount of functionality that is deployed out in our distribution, but then, you know, allowing different implementations to extend that functionality with new content, new reports, et cetera. Just like, you know, in the 1.x application, you see people adding HTML forms and concepts, managing concepts directly. I mean, not necessarily in that vein, but finding a more sustainable model where we're sort of expanding the number of people that can contribute new content and new functionality to the system, and expand, you know, allow for local, you know, differences.
Cool. Anyone else with questions or comments? All right. Well, that's thank you for the update. I know it's the kind of thing where you say, oh, well, what do we really have to talk about? But it's not hard to suddenly find yourself at the end of an hour just kind of touching the surface of the kind of stuff you guys are doing. So I don't know if these occasional kind of update for the community things are painful for you guys, but they're, from my perspective, they're really helpful to kind of just kind of understand what's going on at PIH and where you guys are headed. So know that they're appreciated. Thank you for taking the time.
No problem.
Because I know this is, you know, a lot of it is just kind of the day-to-day, what you guys are looking at each day, but it's for others of us, it's nice to get that sneak peek of what you guys are just used to looking at each day, not getting to see it as often. So we, on the schedule, have next week opportunity to try to move forward REST Web Services. I know we've been talking about that on design calls. Darius, but I think this is a chance to kind of with just have the developer community and kind of focus on, I think, some of the discussion we started in yesterday's design call, and trying to turn that into some action items and kind of get consensus on general approaches. I'd like to try to get some input from JJ, because he is leading the informatics team at AMPATH now and is getting the developers up to speed on Angular, and has developed a fair amount of Angular himself with both Angular form entry and starting to develop some data services that can store securely into local storage when you're offline, or go to web services when you're online, which are things that I think might be of interest to us as a community as well. So
those are also on the Bomni roadmap for this year, or that sort of idea of offline storage. So yeah, if you could get him to share.
Yeah, he's worked through kind of basically storing data, trying to store data, but not so much, trying to decide to not store demographic data, but just kind of, some of the clinical data, quote, not, I wouldn't say de-identified, but trying to err on not storing clearly identifying things like patient identifiers and names. And then those that he does store, he's using encryption, and he's using one-way salted, and hashed passwords. He's definitely worked through some of the issues. I'm sure it's not bulletproof, but it is
I think it's worth hearing from him what he's done. So I don't know if we get to that, but I'd like, because he's been in that space, I'd like to get his input on and the team and Ampath on that call next week as well. Maybe we can see if we can get JJ to kind of do a deep dive sometime in the near future. So, all right. Well, thanks, folks, for joining the call. Any last comments before we end the call? All right. Well, thank you for joining the call. Hopefully, we'll see you on next week's call. I know REST Web Services is something that more and more people in the community are interested in, not just using, but seeing that evolve and improve. So hopefully we'll have a good discussion next week. Between now and then, we will see you in cyberspace.